You can take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 7. And I want to talk a little bit about answered prayers. And we have a wonderful, wonderful Father that wants to answer our prayers every single time, every single day, every single minute, all the time. And that's what's so wonderful, how we can live our lives, like, you know, the prayers were wonderful. And the great thing is, you know, we can expect those prayers to get answered as we just keep looking to Him. So anyway, here's some Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. It says here, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." So through great intensive research, I figured out that God wants to answer our prayers. And it's so simple, the things we can do. We just ask, and we'll be given, we seek, and we're going to find, and we knock, and it's going to be opened up to us every single time we look to Him. Every single time, you know, we have stuff on our hearts that we need taken care of. And even in the process, if we're not, you know, we have stuff right now going on that we didn't, haven't received yet, God is going to still do it as we keep going to Him. He wants to do it for us. And I love that it says, everyone that looks, everyone that seeks, everyone that asks, as we keep going to Him, He's going to perform it. And if you jump down to verse 9, it says, "Or what man is there," and this is a great example, "Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone?" If your son asks you for bread, are you going to give him a stone? Or your daughter? You know, and the whole thing about the bread, the stone looks like bread and all that stuff. And we all know that. Orientalism?
Yeah.
And then, "Or if he asks a fish, is he going to give him a serpent?" No, right? "If ye then, being evil," or flawed, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to him that what? Asks. All we got to do is ask, and He does it for us, and believe, and all these wonderful things. But yeah, as a father, you know, as a parent, we're not going to give junky things to our kids. We want them to have the best. But how much more, how much better can God give to His kids? We are limited. God is not limited. So it's a wonderful thing to keep going to Him. In Matthew, well, we're in Matthew. How about 21? Matthew 21 and in verse 22. Oh, I'm in 22. "And some things, sometimes will, however, ye ask. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer," what do we got to do?
Believing
ye shall receive. And I love that "shall receive," because it's just wonderful. It says, take hold of and be amazed. We're going to be amazed at the things that God wants to do for us and has done for us. And then "all things" is wonderful too. It says all, every, thoroughly, daily. So it's not a thing where God's limiting us to a few things, or, you know, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday He'll take care of us. But He wants to take care of us every single second of every day while we're here on this earth. Go to Matthew 18. And here's another key that our wonderful, and God told us in manifestations, our wonderful brother, Jesus Christ. I love that. Matthew 18, 1 through 6, and it says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" They had to know that. They wanted to know, who's am I better than the guy next to me?
Yeah.
Am I better than the other guy at the other fellowship? Mm. Great things that we really, who cares, really? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself, there's a great key, humble himself. We don't know diddly squat compared to what God knows. God knows what we need, when we need it, how we're going to get it. He knows all of that stuff. humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. A little child expects their parents to take care of them, right? That's what we do with God. We expect God to take care of us because he wants to. And some little children, their parents don't take care of them. But God takes care of his children every single time. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. So we don't want to offend one of these little children. But we want to act as a little child when it comes to going to our Father and receiving the wonderful things of him. Go jump down to verse 19. There's another great thing, and we did some of this morning. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So when we pray together, God is so blessed and happy that we pray that we're together, first of all, but that we're praying together to him so he can meet our needs. I love that too. It says, it shall be done for them of my Father. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. Verse 22, and Jesus is answering some people, and he says, have faith in God, which is a great thing to have, right? Believe in God. But verse 23, it says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he, again, shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, do what? Amen. Believe, and ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. Pretty cool. Now, how many people in this room has had a mountain removed from them? A literal mountain. No one. But you know what? If we needed it, guess what? It could happen. Because we asked God, and if we really needed it done, it would happen. It's not like what do you call those things? Aesop fables. It's not a fable. It's not just a little story that God put in here to make us feel good about ourselves. But he can literally do it. Shall have. That means it's going to come to pass. Let's go to John. Not that John, but John 14. John 14, and we'll start in verse 12. Verily, verily, again and again, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So, did Jesus Christ do some great things while he was here on earth? For not too many years, but he really did he fulfilled a lifetime of wonderful things for God in a very short amount of time. So what he's saying here is the same things he did, we can do in greater works. And then verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And in those greater works, you know, I looked it up, it said larger works or more works than he did. And that's us. We're just regular people, but we can do these great things that he did, and more than them, more than him, because we love God, because we believe in God. We're regular people doing great, wonderful, godly things. It's pretty cool. There's not a lot of people on this earth that are doing that. But we are, because we believe in him. John 15. That's one, two books over. And in verse 7, here's another simple thing we can do to get our answers from God. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. And there's that shall be done again. So what do we have to do? We got to keep abiding in him and the words of God that he gave us, and keep them in there as best we can. And he's going to keep taking care of us. He's going to keep loving us. He's going to keep providing for us. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, and in verse 16, we all know this verse. It says, lettuce and tomatoes. Let us therefore come what?
Boldly.
We don't have to go to God sheepishly. We don't have to wonder if it's okay to go to him. It's always okay to go to him. So it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help, and to help in time of need. And that help in time of need is interesting. It's kind of like, you've probably heard this already, but it's like the freighting of a ship. In the olden days, the ships were wooden. So what they would do is, if they knew they were going to be in a storm, they would take a rope on this side and a rope on this side and freight the bottom of the ship, basically, so they didn't die in a storm. And that's what God does for us. He freights us. He strengthens us. He secures us in time of need. And the great thing is, not only in time of need, he does that for us 24/7. He's a wonderful, wonderful God. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And we're going to read 1 through 7. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herbs. And then they're going to wither. It means it's just going to fade away. The evildoers, the people who are against God's kids, they're going to fade away. It might be a little pesky for a little while, but eventually they're going to fade away. And then it says, trust in the Lord, verse 3, and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Does light come out every day? Noontime comes every day? Well, that's how God is going to be there for us all the time. And then this great verse, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So I got from those few verses there is don't sweat it. You know, just don't sweat the things that are happening, because there's, you know, like John's parade, this is the worst that it's going to be. But it's not horrible, because we got God. We got His Word. So don't sweat it. Rest in Him, knowing that He's going to take care of our desires, our prayers. Psalm 91. We sweated it yesterday, not Max, I did. Max is Mr. Heat guy. Max is, we're out there doing stuff. He's, I wish it was hotter.
Yep.
Psalm 91, verses 9. Verses 9 through, I guess towards the end, it says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, thy retreat, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh unto nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. And we have better than the angels. We have him and his and our wonderful brother. Verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. So our thing to do is to set our love upon God, because he's the one that takes care of us. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. That's a good thing, right? When you call upon someone, and they answer you. And well, we have God. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, that's a pretty awesome thing God does for his people. Go to Psalm 145. Verses 18 and 19. Now this is a good thing here too. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. It means that you tremble against him, that you cower when God is looking at you. No. We respect him. He will fulfill the desire of them that respect him, that are in awe of him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. So that's a great thing. In Jeremiah chapter 33, Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou not knowest. Now, not knowest means that we can't comprehend. The things of God that are going to be so awesome to us that we just can't even comprehend it. They're so wonderful. And then in Isaiah, chapter 65, just a couple of pages back, I guess, eh? Isaiah 65, verse 24, it says, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will what? Hear. God knows our needs even before we know it. And all he's asking us to do is ask him, go to him, rely on him, trust in him, and he's going to do it. And I wanted to read part of a song here that really, I was thinking there's no way we can sing this, but so I'm going to read part of it. It is the song number 4, Are You Living Where God Answers Prayer? And it says, are you living where God answers prayer? Are you dwelling in Him today? That you may claim in Jesus' name an answer when you pray. Are you sure there is nothing to hinder? And from what we've read in the Word, there's nothing to hinder us from going to Him. Mm-hmm. Are you sure there is nothing to hinder? Yeah, sure. Your blessed communion there, when you kneel at the throne, your request to make known, are you living where God answers prayer? And the second verse is, yeah, we do. And even when we fall short at times, we can always go back to that. So,